With Montana News, I'm Kevin Trevlin. Today is the deadline for public input on Montana's draft proposal to add work and community service requirements to the state's health coverage program for low-income adults. Corn Cates Carney reports.
At the end of the month, Montana's Department of Public Health and Human Services plans to send the federal government the new outline for the state's Medicaid expansion program, which covers around 90,000 people. The change is required by House Bill 658, legislation fought over during the 2019 legislative session that continued the controversial health program past a looming expiration, in addition to making policy changes within it. The most high-profile change is a requirement for certain Medicaid recipients to work or do community engagement activities, such as vocational education, community service, or other activities outlined in the new law for 80 hours per month. DPHHS estimates that nearly 26,000 people on the program will have to report their compliance with the requirements, and between 4 and 12% of those people will lose coverage. The policy changes also include premium cost increases for people who stay on the program longer than 2 years and the elimination of copays. The federal government, which will pay 90% of Medicaid expansion costs after 2020, must sign off on Montana's plan. Pending that approval, the new requirements for some Medicaid recipients will go into effect January 1st.
The U.S. Attorney's Office announced yesterday it won't pursue federal charges in the death of a young girl whose body was found near Lame Deer on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation late last year. The office determined it could not prove foul play. Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
14-year-old Henny Scott's body was found in late December 2018, a few weeks after she was last seen alive. According to the U.S. Attorney Office's press release, she passed due to hypothermia with no evidence of major trauma, and alcohol was a condition in her death. The same release says a follow-up investigation determined that when Scott was last seen, she was wearing light clothing in below-freezing temperatures. In the past, her mother, Paula Castro, has expressed doubt about forensic findings. 5 months following the discovery of her daughter's body, Castro spoke to a crowd in Billings who gathered to march and raise awareness about missing and murdered Indigenous people.
They say she died from hypothermia, but it was warm.
YPR was unable to reach her in time for this report's airing. Dean Walling Bull, an activist in Lame Deer who organized several marches following the discovery of Henny Scott's body, says he heard about the U.S. Attorney Office's announcement.
I don't want to be angry or mad about that decision and whoever made it, whoever decided that, you know. I'm going to pray about it.
Walling Bull says Scott's death brought heightened attention to the issue of missing and murdered women and girls, and it's not over.
Other people are going to experience this, and it's going to be hard for them, you know, and we don't want that to happen. We pray that that doesn't happen, but that's, in our reality, it's not like that, you know. It's different here.
Montana established the Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force this year. Its duties will include improving communication between tribal, state, and federal agencies and managing a database of missing people. Kayla DeRoche, YPR News.
Billings residents endured another night of power outages, flash flooding, and building damage as a severe storm with high winds, hail, and heavy rain rolled into the area yesterday. Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
A spokesperson with the Billings City Dispatch Center reported most of the emergency calls it answered last night were traffic-related due to street flooding around the city. A Northwestern Energy spokeswoman reports some 2,000 customers, many in the Billings Heights, were without power for several hours due to trees and power lines, broken power poles, and damaged wires. Northwestern called in crews from Laurel, Hardin, and Columbus to assist Billings crews in restoring power. By 6 this morning, most customers had power back. A second outage was reported this morning around 10:30 a.m., this time in the Billings West End, affecting about 4,500 customers. Power was restored 35 minutes later. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
Glacier National Park officials are asking visitors to be aware of the risk of rabies following a park resident in St. Mary being scratched by a rabid bat. The individual is currently undergoing a series of rabies vaccinations. The case was confirmed by the Glacier County Health Department last Thursday. Officials say if a bat or skunk contacts a human, it's important to safely capture the animal and submit it for rabies testing. Without testing, it is impossible to tell if the animal is carrying rabies, and the exposed person should seek preventative care. Montana health officials released new rules today for private therapeutic homes that previously fell under the authority of a mostly self-regulated board. This comes a month after the state health department removed 24 children from one of those facilities due to allegations of abuse. MTPR's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is asking the public to comment on 61 new rules that will govern 18 private therapeutic programs for kids statewide. They cover everything from removal of children to staffing ratios. Some specifically touch on allegations health officials raised against Ranch for Kids, including bans on withholding food and excessive physical exercise. A law passed this year giving health officials oversight allowed for the removal of 27 children from that facility last month. Senator Diane Sands, who sponsored the legislation, told MTPR earlier this month that she expects DPHHS to take more action under the new rules it released Friday.
Some of these facilities are probably fine, and we will find that out as the department goes in and has the authority to look at what is their training and certification for people who are providing the kinds of therapies that these children are in need of.
DPHHS is still overseeing programs under current regulations. The department declined to comment on its proposed regulations Friday, saying that it will provide comment closer to a public hearing on September 12th. Sands, who had some input on the rulemaking process, expects the rules to be approved mostly as is.
Because they are exactly consistent with what the requirements are for the other programs the state currently licenses that deal with kids with serious emotional or behavioral problems.
MTPR called all 18 programs that would fall under the new rules. Some were unaware they had been released, and others were still thumbing through the 55-page document. Most programs did not answer or were not available for comment. Public comments on the new rules are due September 20th. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.